Chapter 5, The Five-Step Process to Extraordinary Growth. Look, it took 22 years of thinking about it, experimenting with it, training it, changing it, tweaking it, teaching it, training it some more, and getting lots of feedback to develop this organic growth system. Frankly, it's been anything but easy, but if you've been struggling with how you can create an organic growth machine with how to drive your sales culture forward, then you're not alone. There are a lot of agencies struggling to figure it out. So let's dive in. Step number one, commit to growth. Is there anything you have in your life that is really good that didn't take a genuine commitment? Yeah, probably not. Now, why aren't more agencies growing at a faster pace? Well, the only plausible answer is relatively simple. They just never committed. Maybe they started, they gave it some effort, and then quit. It just got too hard. It's like a diet. You don't quit eating, you just stop eating healthy. And maybe it's their golf game. They didn't quit playing golf, they just dropped the lessons and never got any better. No one is saying agency owners quit talking about sales, they just quit driving sales. And that's a big difference. There is no magic pill or a secret formula, and there will always be a problem producer or two. But the real reason 7 out of 10 agency owners quit is they never really committed. Cowards never start, the weak never finish, and the winners never quit. If you really want to grow your agency and solve the three big challenges we discussed, it takes a winners never quit commitment. To make this fun, exciting, and to gain buy-in from your producers, there are a couple of really important things you will want to commit to, and here they are. Part number one, commit to being a proactive services firm, providing a unique and differentiated client experience. Look, your firm is in business to serve clients. When you do that extraordinarily well, they reward you with long-term loyalty. And you know having a loyal client base opens the door for big-time organic growth. How do you differentiate your service from that of your competitors? Well, most agencies have mastered the reactive services capability, which means they're good at things like getting out certificates, returning phone calls and emails, and checking policies for accuracy. Why is having a proactive services platform important to agency growth? Well, here's the primary reason. Your best producers can sell in any environment. They just have the DNA to figure out. They will make money working at your firm, but they will probably do just as well regardless of where they go. You just have to admit they have something special. But for the average producer who frankly doesn't have that special something, they need an edge. Where will they get that edge? Is it better reactive service? Yeah, probably not. Your competitors do a pretty good job at that. Is it better pricing? Yeah, probably not. Most of your competitors have access to the same or similar markets and they can match or get close to their pricing. Is it better coverage? I doubt it. Look, the average producer has lower close rates, writes smaller accounts, and produces less new business. And it's not that having proactive services will solve all of their problems by any means, but it is the foundational differentiating factor that allows them to beat the incumbent. Unless your producers do something that clients don't even know to ask for, but after seeing it, can't live without, then your guys are just like the other guys, and there's a good chance they'll get rolled. When you can help them build confidence around this concept, you can help develop ninja-like salespeople. See, if you don't, they'll have to rely on traditional selling techniques, which are based upon relationship, finding a coverage gap, getting a cheaper price, and hoping to win the business. To differentiate yourself from the agency that does a good job with reactive service and has similar markets to you, you need to provide proactive services that are clearly defined, easy to explain, and can help control the cost of insurance for your clients. Confidence breeds success. When you train your producers to sell using proactive service, their confidence goes up, their energy peaks, their desire to gauge in the hand-to-hand combat of winning an account increases, their ability to get a BOR soars, and it has the impact you really want, an inspired sales team that is growing. If not, meet the elephant. Imagine you are the incumbent agent and some agent is coming after your account, what are you going to do? Well, when an agent is coming after your account using traditional sales techniques, price, coverage, and relationship, you will leverage your relationship with your client to get the last look. And with that, you match the coverage and price and keep the business. The guy using traditional selling techniques just got rolled. And that is why the average producer using traditional selling techniques working at a reactive services firm has such low closing rates. You have to change the game if you want to dominate. And how do you do that? Well, you need to put your average producers in a proactive service culture. Then you need to teach them how to use ninja tactics and proactive services to get the prospect to discover the incumbent isn't doing their job. And that's when the whole game changes. The average producer is then able to win more accounts and bigger accounts and do so often by AOR or BOR. Now, isn't that a shift worth considering? I mean, it all starts with your commitment to be a proactive services firm. Let's do a quick test. Do you want to know if your agency is a proactive services firm? It's easy to find out. Simply ask your producers or one of your support staff to pull up the written service plan for each of your agency's top clients. As you analyze that written service plan that your client has initialed as something important to them, you'll want to look for concrete, specific deliverables, such as claims reviews, mod projections, payroll analysis, business interruption limits review. And there could be more or less items depending on the size and complexity of the account. But the point is that if a written service plan does not exist, and yet your producers feel like they're being proactive, then their feelings are misleading them, aren't they? I mean, if you feel like an NBA basketball player, but your history doesn't bear that out, if you can't dunk on an NBA big man, if you can't dribble into the paint and get off a shot, if you can't defend an NBA guard, then you're probably not NBA material regardless of your feelings. The same is true with your producers. They might feel they are being proactive, but if they don't have documentation and a system to back it up, it's only a feeling. It's simple. With a proactive services platform, you not only deliver a unique and differentiated client experience, you give your producers concrete tools to win new business. Part number two, commit to your producers, help your producers double their personal income. After you commit to being a proactive services firm and setting the foundation for a differentiated client experience, if you want serious organic growth, you need to think about your producers. What do your producers need? Well, think about this. How many of your producers legitimately need to double their personal income? How many of them need to make twice as much money as they make now to not only pay their living expenses, but to save a tremendous amount so they can fund cars, university tuitions, and weddings for the kids? They also need to make a lot of money to be able to save a lot for their own retirement so they can live without worry when they hang up their producer hat. Do they want to double their personal income? I'm sure they do if you ask them, but are they driven to double their personal income? Probably not. And why not? Producers are simply ignorant about how much money it will take to fund their future financial obligations. They do not understand how much money it's going to take. Most people, insurance producers included, are woefully unprepared for the future. Everything revolves around money, but they're not taught that in our education system. So even those who've earned a degree most likely don't know how much they need to save annually and for how many years to accomplish their life goals. As a result, they're just doing what they feel is the best they can. But they can do better than that, and here's why. I was one of those ignorant guys. Today, I have four daughters who are 23, 21, 19, and 16. It was literally 17 years ago that my kids were 6, 4, 2, and soon to be born. I was running a sales meeting in Houston, Texas at an agency client of mine. We started at 8 a.m. and were 30 minutes into our meeting when Paul arrived. Paul was always on time, Being late was very unusual for him. As he slipped into the room, he apologized for being late and interrupted what was going on. I acknowledged him and politely said, "Hey man, is everything okay?" He replied, yeah, sorry. I mean, I got in really late last night and slept in an extra hour." "Ooh," I said, "what time did you get in?" He said about 4:30 a.m. "Wow, man, that's pretty late." So I asked him, "What was going on that you were out until 4:30 in the morning?" And that's when his story began. Basically, he did what all college parents do. He rented a U-Haul trailer, packed his daughter's furniture and clothes inside, and headed off for college. That college happened to be Texas Tech in Lubbock, Texas, about an 11-hour drive from Houston. After getting her all set up, he made a beeline back to Houston. The unfortunate part is that it took considerably longer than he expected, and he got in really late. After he told me that part of the story, I asked him, "Do you have any other kids in school?" He goes, "Yep." And he told me about a second daughter who was a couple of years ahead of the first one. It was at that point I looked him right in the eye and I said, "Well, at least the good news, it's all paid for, isn't it?" And then Paul lowered his head and shook it side to side, indicating his daughter's education was not already paid for. In fact, he was funding it month to month out of his income. And that was my holy crap moment. I mean, you talk about financially ignorant. I'm sitting there in a bit of a daze as I started thinking about the fact that I have four daughters. And it became crystal clear to me that I didn't have a clue how much money I would need to save to pay for cars, college, weddings, not to mention my own retirement. I mean, most of the people I grew up around never thought about this either. And the biggest reason was that there wasn't much they could do about it. They were all blue-collar workers or farmers. Everyone was doing the best they could to get by. No one had any extra money lying around, nor did they have the ability to make more money. In fact, we all felt lucky if we could take a vacation about every 5 years. And of course, talking about money, it's taboo. I mean, even to this day, to talk about money. If you make a lot of money, most people feel you shouldn't talk about it. You'll be seen as bragging. You know, you can hear it now from your mother and father. No one needs to know how much money we make. It's our business, not theirs. And all of that leads to a lot of financial ignorance for most people. Do your producers need to make twice as much money than they're currently making? You know the middle 60%ers definitely do. Do they know it? They know in general. Do they have a plan? Nope, they don't. And that is what's driving their new production goal setting. A big old general, "I don't know." And see, this is your opportunity to make a difference for you and them. Let's start with one basic assumption. Your producers are not dummies. They have way more capability than they're tapping into. I'm sure of it. For the most part, they, like most people, are letting fear, apprehension, and apathy control their lives instead of courage, desire, and ambition. Can you make their fear and apprehension go away? No, you can't. Can you make them brave, courageous, and ambitious? No, you can't. Can you influence it in a powerful way? Yes, 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 you can. And it starts with giving them a financial education. And how long should your financial education strategy last? Well, forever is the only plausible answer. So let's do this really fast. Invite one of your middle 60%ers, just an average producer, into your office. Below are the questions you want to ask him. Write down his or her answers or ask them to write it down. So number one, I suppose that someday you want to retire. Do you know how much money you need to have saved at that point to last until the day you die so you don't have to worry or stress about money? Well, there's a high probability they'll have a very general number because they don't know. The number should be 22 times their annual spend at retirement age. So if they want to retire on $100,000 a year, they need to have $2.2 million in their retirement account. If they can't answer that question, they are doomed on all the rest, but keep going anyway. Question number two, In order to have that much money saved at retirement age, how much do you have to save every year until then? And see, they won't know. They'll give one of those fuzzy answers like, well we're just going to do the best we can. And then question number three, hey, how big does your book of business have to get so it will throw off enough money for you to pay all your bills and be able to save that much money every year? And they won't know. And about now, they're feeling really uncomfortable and embarrassed. But don't let their discomfort cause you to stop. This is so fundamentally important to their success and the growth of your agency. Please do not stop. Number four, in order to grow a book of business that big in the next 3 to 5 years, how much new business do you have to write every year to get yourself there? And they won't know. If they don't know, you have to ask yourself, what is driving them to write new business? And what should scare the crap out of you is this. They're writing enough new business to not go backwards, or maybe advance just a little bit. Is that the basis for robust sales culture? Will I get this agency on the path of double digit or at least high single digit growth? No, it will not. Is that a producer problem or a leadership problem? I mean, you can blame your producers all you want, but they're a product of the culture that you built. And here's what this means to your agency. Your number one resource for growth, for writing new business, for slaying the incumbent, for selling your agency proposition, they don't have a clear, concise, personal goals that drive them. What would happen if you made an adjustment in your process to fix this? What would be the financial impact for you and for them over the next 5 years? Can you say huge? Look, sincerely speaking, this is not a farce, a setup, a con, or manipulation of any sort. If you genuinely care about your producers and their families, you could really help them with this. Imagine the pride you would have saying to your friends, peers, clients, or spouse, hey, we intentionally plan to help every one of our producers become financially independent. Think about that from a branding perspective. If your firm was committed to helping all your producers double their personal income, save a tremendous amount of money, and become financially independent, what do you think would happen to the reputation of your firm? Can you say, pick of the litter? Can you envision how star quality recruits would be banging down your door to have a chance to join your firm? Do you think that might make your recruiting easier? Do you think you'd attract the best of the best? I mean, would there be a spike in energy level at your agency? Is there anything negative about creating an environment that inspires, encourages, educates, and motivates producers to gain real clarity about their financial future and then provide them a proven path to go get it? And when you do this, what's in it for you? Well, simply put, when a producer doubles his or her personal income, they just doubled their book. When they double their book, the value of your agency goes up too. There is nothing but win-win in this concept. So the second part of the commitment is simply this: commit to helping every producer you have double their personal income in 3 to 5 years. Just going to say that again. Commit to helping every producer you have double their personal income in 3 to 5 years. So let's do this whole summary on the commitment to growth. Extraordinary growth requires two very important things. Number one, a sincere commitment to being a proactive services firm that creates a unique and differentiated customer experience. This gives your producers something quantitative to sell, not just fluff. Number two, a commitment to drive and support producers in your agency to double their personal income in 3 to 5 years with only half the accounts. This helps all your producers accomplish their personal goals, making this a producer-centric culture, a win-win. Now let's deal with the second part of the statement. Double their personal income in 3.5 years with half the accounts. With half the accounts, it's foundational to building the rest of your agency's organic growth culture. And like any good foundation, it must be done. Here's why this is not optional if you want to experience exponential growth and be in the position to dominate your market. Time is the one commodity that we all have in common. You and everyone you know, we're all blessed with 24 hours a day. It is the great equalizer. How you and your producers use that time has everything to do with how fast their personal income will grow and how fast your agency will grow. When your producers and their support staff use their time to service, manage, and renew small accounts, they aren't using it to write, service, and manage larger accounts. It becomes painfully obvious if you're willing to consider the facts. Look at this research one more time. It's not rocket science. There were 168 producers with just under $92 million in revenue, and that represented 17,808 commercial accounts. The analysis broke their books of business into three sections: the top 20%, the middle 40%, and the bottom 40%. The average book had 106 accounts, averaging $5,159 in revenue for a total of $546,857 book. 73% of their revenue, or right at $400,000, came from 21 of the 106 accounts. The top 20% averaged $17,773 per account. 4% of the revenue, which is $22,000, came from 43 accounts, the bottom 40%, and averaged $518 per account. Being very analytical and critical at the same time, if you were the consultant, what would you see in these numbers? Well, first off, you would ask how much time is involved for the support staff to service the $22,000 of revenue that comes from the bottom 43 accounts that produce an average of $518 of agency revenue. How many hours are involved in renewing these accounts? Is paying a producer to retain this business profitable for the agency and good for the producer? If you look at it from a producer's perspective, you'd ask the question this way. Let's use 30% as a renewal commission. On just one of the larger accounts valued at an average of $17,000, a producer makes about $5,000. On just one of the bottom accounts, a $518 account, a producer makes $155. A producer makes 34 times more money from one large account than they do from one of their small accounts. Said another way, a producer would have to write 34 small accounts to equate what just one of the larger accounts would provide in personal income. Then they have to renew 34 small accounts to retain that revenue. It's a lot of work and very little money. What's worse is this, that the support staff is so overwhelmed with dealing with all the small accounts that they can't focus on the larger accounts the way they should. Then what happens? The producer is no longer a producer. They become an executive level CSR or member of the support staff because their team can't keep up with all the minutia. When that happens, the producer no longer produces, which means their personal income is capped. And it means that your number one asset to grow your agency, your producer force, is out of business. No longer a producer, but an account manager. There's nothing earth-shattering about these observations, just a very pragmatic way of looking at the problem of sustainable growth in an agency environment. So step number one has outlined what you have to commit to if you want to grow your agency. You have to commit to growth because there will be obstacles and you will want to quit. If you're committed, you won't quit. Then you have to commit to being a proactive services firm because it turns your value proposition into something tangible, something real. It gives your producers something concrete to sell instead of fluff. And that builds their confidence to be in the market prospecting and selling. Next, you have to get all the small accounts out of your producers' books of business. They will argue that it doesn't take any of their time, but for the most part, they're delusional. It does take time. And since we only have 24 hours, the person that learns how to get the most from their time wins the game. Now, what would cause a producer to want to do this? Well, you have to get them clear on what their financial future will look like if they do and if they don't. Remove the ambiguity, get to the facts. College tuition will cost $100,000 to $200,000. Weddings will cost from $15,000 to $75,000. The retirement fund needs 22 times whatever they plan to live on until the day they die. It can range from $1 million all the way up to $3.5 million and maybe more. If they aren't saving $50,000, $55,000, $60,000, $65,000 a year for approximately 20 years, most of them are way underfunded. Is the producer's intrinsic motivation, the desire to do what's best for him and his family, combined with a very specific plan for how to make it happen that will help change your agency into a growth machine? When you can find a way to perpetually tap into that, and you can do it through financial education, you've taken a very big step toward creating an agency growth machine. Step number two, you cannot drive an idea. You must drive a process. Now you've committed to developing an agency growth machine. You want it. Your partners want it. And your producers want it. Everyone sees and feels how this is in their best interest. What now? Well, if you were a college coach, you'd need a playbook for your players to learn and implement. As a sales coach, you need the same. Why is this important? If you don't have a playbook, something that details what you want your producers to do, how are you going to drive it? Without a playbook, all that is left are good ideas. How are you going to communicate and drive that? You can't. It's like standing on the corner of a street and saying, you can all be wealthy. And then when someone says to you, well, how do we do that? If you answer with, just work smart, do the best you can, then they have every right to look at you like you're nuts. But if you said, I have a plan, a process, it's proven, let me show it to you, how different would that be? So the same is true with your producers. You can't just say, let's go double your personal income without a plan, a playbook, or a business process. That makes this step huge for you and them. Without a plan, you can't drive it. Without a plan, they have nothing to believe in. Let me show you a playbook. It's a plan that is proven daily by over 1,000 active producers our firm is coaching now. It's called the flight plan. I started using the flight plan analogy for two reasons. It has a visual component that everyone can easily understand, and it demonstrates the point precisely. Selling is like flying. If you don't land safely, nothing else really matters. So is true with selling. The successful outcome is making the sell. But what can prevent you from safe landings? Well, there can be a lot of things, but very often the culprit is the incumbent. But what can prevent you from safe landing, making the sell? Well, there can be a lot of things, but very often the culprit is the incumbent. Imagine this. You're coming in for landing and are about to put your wheels on the runway, which means getting the sell. But just before you land, the incumbent is watching you through her binoculars, and just moments before your wheels touch the runway, she pulls up the bazooka and blows you out of the sky. It's called getting rolled. And you know it happens all the time. In fact, every time someone comes after your accounts, you don't just play dead and let them have it, do you? No, you use whatever ammo you have in your arsenal to prevent them from landing safely and taking your account away from you. You probably use all sorts of tactics, including playing the guilt card, the loyalty card, the look at the things we've done for you over the last couple of years card, and no one can blame you. It's just part of the game. Always has been, and always will be, as long as insurance is sold by people and not machines. So a safe landing is analogous to making the sell, to getting the new account, and ultimately growing a huge book of business. So let's take a look at the flight plan, every step of it. First off, in the hangar, you're performing proactive service maintenance. This prevents accidents, mishaps, or an all-out crash where you lose the account to another agent. You prevent that with a written service timeline co-created with your client. Then red hot introductions. When you've done a good job of proactively servicing your accounts, you've earned the right to ask for and receive an introduction to someone they know. That is the source of your very best prospects. Having the written service timeline in place takes away the fear and angst associated with asking for that introduction. This step leads to a quality appointment with a new prospect. And then it's pre-call strategy, the equivalent to a pre-flight prep for a pilot. You have to figure out where you want to go, check the weather, check your fuel, project the flight time, and submit a flight plan. Same is true with pre-call strategy. You have a destination in mind, but for you to land safely, you have to deal with the incumbent. The incumbent must get fired for you to get hired. In the pre-call strategy, you research your prospect and their potential needs by understanding who is serving them now, who is the incumbent, and what is he or she doing and not doing. Lastly, you must build a strategy to bust the incumbent relationship. And then next, the wedge. A selling model to bust the incumbent relationship and get your competition fired. Using information gained in the pre-call strategy, you now go on the sales call and leverage your differentiation in a powerful way to cause your prospect to discover they have needs that are not being met by the incumbent. You then co-create a solution and get that confirmed. And then you rehearse the prospect through the process of firing the incumbent. Having completed those steps, you now move on to either getting a BOR or marketing the account to the insurance companies. And now for the next step, pre-close and then present your proposal. This step is called Keystone, but it's analogous to the Keystone put in all the ancient arches to lock all the other pieces in place. The biggest risk at this point of the sales process is the relationship that the incumbent has with their client, your prospect. If you're not careful, the ambitious and clever incumbent will find a way to match your price, match your coverage, and match the services you say you can provide. The purpose of this step is to preempt that and win the business. And then number five is wedge-proof that account. By installing a co-created written service plan, the client is assured he's getting exactly what he said he wants, but isn't getting from his current agent. And then next, cross-sell the account by getting your associate into the account to write the other lines of business. These steps represent your flight plan. It is not nebulous, nor is it left to chance or whims. It's a process to be followed to win business and grow a book. And the whole point of laying that out for you is this. If you don't have a well-defined process, a playbook, it'll be next to impossible to take your agency to another growth level. Without a standard guidebook, everyone is doing their own thing. Some will be efficient and effective, but many won't. It's hit or miss. And that, like hope, is not a strategy, is it? Let me ask you, have you ever built a new home? If so, did you have a blueprint for the new home you wanted to build? I bet you said yes. There's a simple reason for that. If you don't have a blueprint, the builder would have to guess what you want. The chance they could guess accurately is pretty low, isn't it? Knowing that a new home is going to cost anywhere from $250,000 up to $1 million and maybe over, that's a pretty big risk to take. The same is true when making a decision to drive your sales culture. The value of a well-run sales team versus a group of producers doing their own thing could easily be worth millions, depending on the size of your team. Without a blueprint or a playbook, how are you going to drive your team to double their personal incomes and double your agency? You might be thinking that it wouldn't matter how good the blueprint is, how much training you do, how great a leader you are, there is no way your producers will respond. And you might be right. If you are right, you just locked yourself into a prison of hopelessness. However, you might be one of the 3 out of 10 that gets it. Changing your agency is a process. It takes a well-defined strategy that can be implemented and improved over time. Some producers will get it quickly, and some will take time. And along the way, You'll add more new producers to the mix. 1 year from now, you'll be better off than you are today. And 5 years from now, it'll be a different shop. As you go through this process, you will continue to shift your attitude about your producers being too old to change, too professional to get better, or too hopeless for you to try. Step number three, training not just for skills, but confidence. See, the two biggest inhibitors to producers taking action and growing their books are apathy and a lack of confidence. You create your best chances to overcome apathy with great goal setting and financial education. To remove the lack of confidence barrier, you must train your producers. Teach your producers the skills they need to prospect, sell, and retain. Proper training ensures competence and ability to do these tasks successfully. And from competence comes confidence. Confidence is a self-fulfilling prophecy, as those without it will often fail or not try because they lack it. And those with it succeed because they have it. They make the effort and they keep striving. The breakdown. Agency owners come in a lot of different flavors. Many are self-made. They pulled their boots on every morning, trudged into the darkness, and came out smelling like a rose. They worked hard in the face of adversity. They kept putting one foot in front of the other. And when they look back 20 years later, they take pride in the fact that they built one heck of an agency. If that's you, then you probably never considered the impact of feeling confident. It wasn't really a choice. You just did what you did, and you did it well, and your proof is in the pudding. You have nice cars, a nice house, a beach or mountain home, incredible vacations, and a significant net worth to prove it. To some degree, you don't really understand those who don't have the confidence, the belief in themselves, like you do. And you get frustrated, really frustrated. From your perspective, everything they need is right out there. It's theirs for the taking. Just go get it. Just do what you did. Well, here's a newsflash. The average person is not like you. Your brain works faster. If this were basketball instead of selling, it would be obvious to everyone. You hustle. You can see the whole court and innately know where your teammates are going. You were blessed and you can't take enormous credit for it. It's just something you were born with, so be grateful. What you can take credit for is that you continued to develop it on your own. Let me repeat that. You developed it on your own. But the average person does not have your innate capability. Neither do they have your innate drive. As a general rule, they will not develop it on their own. If the environment does not push them, develop them, they will drive in third gear rather than fifth gear. They'll get by, but they won't accelerate to their capacity or above the competition. And like it or not, you have a room full of average people for the most part. So here's a message to you. You are the different one. They are the average ones. So it's up to you to assist them in growing their confidence. And it starts with training, just like in every sport. It's not their fault they weren't born with that extraordinary inner drive, that sixth sense, that special capability like you were. You were born with a gift, and you must use it wisely, especially if you want to see your firm experience extraordinary organic growth. Remember, you don't have a producer problem. You have a leadership problem. You have an innate ability that most of your producers don't. When you're in a stressful selling situation, you have the innate ability to find your way through it and come out a victor. Because you can do that, you think everyone else can too. Am I right? And that's your problem. The fact that you think everyone else can do it too, but they can't. And just accept that. They need a system, a way of doing things, something they can use to train and build their confidence. So do a quick test to see if this is true. Pull your producers in one at a time and ask them to lay out their selling process step by step in detail. Will they be able to do that? Well, the answer you'll get from most of your producers is, well, it just depends. So ask an NFL quarterback, where are you going to throw the ball when you're under pressure? And they'll tell you exactly how they will read the defense, then run through a list in their head, check, 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 and then throw. Yes, it depends, but they can tell you what it depends on. They know their playbook and they've watched enough film to know their competition. As a golfer, when you're 155 yards out, which club are you going to use? They will say it depends. Then they'll tell you exactly what their decision-making process is based upon. Pin placement, the wind, bunkers, and what the current lie is. Of course, they are professional athletes. They have coaches. They have playbooks. They consistently train to get better. Aren't your producers professional salespeople? Well, of course they are. But they don't have a playbook. They don't have practice sessions. They don't study their competition, and no one is leading them to do it. And that's why when they say it just depends, they don't really mean it. If they were to be totally honest, they'd have to say that they wing it for the most part, that they rely on experience, and that is good. Maybe the golfer shouldn't rely on the caddy to know the distance to the flag, the slope of the green, or the direction of the wind. They should just wing it. And an NFL quarterback, why not do the same? Throw it when it feels right. You may think that selling is more complex than making your living playing golf or being an NFL quarterback. If so, no need to argue. Just imagine you're standing in the pocket, you have a football in your hand, there are 4 to 5 guys that weigh over 300 pounds trying to push your lineman to the side so they can have a clean shot to bury you. At the same time, there are 3 to 5 receivers zigzagging across the field while that many defenders are watching your eyes to see if you will telegraph where you're going to throw the ball so they can intercept it. There are 11 guys on the field just hoping to find a way to embarrass you. Is selling to one buyer more complex than that? Maybe. The root of the problem. See, until you come up with the way, a process that you believe in, you'll never be able to train them. If you don't train them, you'll never move the average person to above average. You'll never help them improve enough to develop a superior level of confidence because every response will be, well, it just depends. Without the confidence that they can set new business appointments with relative ease, know how to engage a new prospect, build rapport, find pain, get commitment, and close for the BOR, you'll never build the sales team of the future. Without the confidence that they know how to develop a written service plan with their clients, get it in writing, and be able to follow through, they'll be stuck at average. Where does that confidence come from? It comes from training. Where does the training come from? It comes from having a process. No process, no training, no confidence. And then step number 4, convert that training and confidence into high leverage activity, winning new business, and booking the revenue. Before going on that new prospect call, the producer should engage in a pre-call strategy with a small team and plan how to win the account. The hardest part of winning the account is having a very well-defined differentiation strategy. Without differentiation, there's no real need for the prospect to consider a change. And the real differentiation will come from the proactive services, not price and coverage. Once a pre-call strategy session is complete, the producer should have a much better opportunity to distinguish and differentiate themselves. Compare this to just winging it. The next step on the flight plan is to meet with the prospect face to face. In that sales call, the process is simple. Build rapport, find pain, and confirm it. Co-create a solution and confirm it. Get a commitment that they can fire the incumbent and confirm it. The two hardest parts are finding pain and getting it confirmed, and then co-creating a solution and getting it confirmed. A producer who is well-trained in these processes can execute with extraordinary effectiveness. A producer without proper training will feel lucky to walk out with a chance to quote the insurance. It's like the difference between a well-trained sniper assassin and the seasonal deer hunter. The assassin doesn't miss, ever. The next piece is to pre-close and then present the proposal. There's a whole process there that prevents the last-minute counterattack by the incumbent from being effective. If a producer has done the sales call steps outlined above, the close should be a no-brainer, but it wouldn't be wise to be overconfident or underprepared. Money and time. The incumbent does not want to lose that continuous stream of income, so they will fight back and it won't always be pretty. Just put yourselves in their shoes. What would you do? There's a predictable pattern a smart incumbent will follow. It's a counterattack. You do that, don't you? If your producer's not prepared and armed to the hilt with proper ammo and protective gear, there's a good chance they will fight a good fight and get to the very end and then lose the battle. If your producer has been trained in a process that gives them the ability to deal with the incumbent's counterattack, they radically increase their chance to win. The point is this: if you do not have a well-defined, documented process that you believe in, you can't train. If you can't train, there's a good chance many of your producers are winging it. If they're winging it, there's a good chance the results are average at best. Skills, competence, confidence. Like 1, 2, 3. Hey, what happens when a producer does the right thing? They build rapport with their prospect, find coverage gaps, market the account, reduce the price, they present it, and they get killed by the incumbent. What impact does all that have on their confidence? You wonder why more new producers don't make it, and you wonder why more veterans don't go out and pick a fight with the new account. Well, what's to wonder? Someone sent them to battle without proper preparation and battle gear. Here's the most important part of this equation. If they don't feel confident, they will not put themselves in high-pressure, high-impact situations. They'll glide, slide, and avoid. And without the confidence to jump into the fire of high-pressure, high-impact situations, they will not grow their books of business. If your agency's not growing by really high single digits or even double digits year after year, you just discovered why. Your number one asset for organic growth, your production team, has been neutralized. Convert their skill into action. My wife and I have done a decent job of training our 4 kids to be polite, make their beds, help do the dishes, and get their homework complete. But if we don't drive that behavior, they will get a little mouthy, they won't make their beds, they won't help in the kitchen, and they procrastinate on their homework. They are people, and like all people, they have to be driven to do the right thing. Your producers are the same. You can train them and build their skills and confidence, but your job is not done. You have to continue to work to convert those skills into high leverage actions. And one of the best ways to do that is to dump your Spreadsheet Liars Club sales meeting and try something different. What is a Spreadsheet Liars Club sales meeting? Well, they start about 3 days in advance when your administrative assistant sends out a request for producers. Please update your pipeline spreadsheet and send to me by Thursday in preparation for our Monday morning sales meeting. Then your assistant bundles all those spreadsheets into a master spreadsheet and gives them to you, the agency owner, on Friday afternoon for you to study over the weekend. On Monday morning, all the producers show up for the Monday morning sales meeting. After a little chatter about the weekend, the meeting gets rolling as you ask the first producer on the list to talk about the accounts he's working on. So he does a quick review of the accounts he has on the list. Then the agency owner follows up with, have you lined up your carriers? Yes, sir, I have, comes the reply. Well, how's your relationship with the prospect? Well, pretty good, I think. Well, tell us more about your strategy. Well, I have a plan to continue meeting with them and build the relationship. I have loss control coming out soon. I mean, we're looking over the policies to see if there's any coverage gaps. I've got a couple of underwriters that are interested. I mean, we're just working through it like always. And then your follow-up question. Need any help? No, sir, I'm good. And then on to the next one, then the next, and then the next. It's called a Liars Club spreadsheet sales meeting. Not because your producers are lying, but because they seldom say anything of significance. What's the purpose of a sales meeting? Well, number one, to drive sales by helping a producer beat the incumbent and win a new account. To drive sales, you have to win the account. To win the account, you have to get the other guy fired. To get the other guy fired, you have to have something better. If the only things you have that are better are coverage and price, you're subject to getting rolled. It seems like reviewing accounts listed on the spreadsheets, having producers talk about them, suggesting carriers, asking about the chance to close, all of that should help drive sales. But for the most part, it doesn't. And why is that? Well, a clever producer can easily slide their way through the interrogation process brought on by the agency owner and yet not accomplish anything towards winning the account. It's more of a reporting meeting than a strategy meeting. The focus is backwards. Therefore, you should reverse what you're doing. Instead of talking about how you're going to sell the account and which carrier you'll use, what if you reversed it and challenged the producer to articulate and defend how they are better than the incumbent agent who already controls the account? When producers are challenged to defend how they are better than the incumbent, how this particular account would be better off with them than they would with the incumbent agent, they get strong. It's like resistance training. It's a different conversation. I mean, the fact, the incumbent has to get fired for you to get hired. And there's a good chance that the incumbent is a reactive services agent, meaning that once they put the account on the books, all they do is respond to needs as they arise. They're probably not a proactive services agent. And if you are, that's what you must exploit. Said in a different way, if you do the same thing the incumbent does, the prospect doesn't need you, do they? So when you change the intent of the meeting and challenge the producer to define and defend how they are better than the incumbent rather than why this is a good prospect, you're using your precious time to help them win, and that will drive sales. Now, you're converting skills into action, which is what this fourth step is all about. When you put the incumbent in the room, figuratively speaking, then challenge your producer to articulate how they are better than that agent, things get very interesting and productive. It makes your differentiation come alive. It makes your sales process come alive. The passion, the ego, the pride, the money, it's all out there for the taking, but only for the bold, the confident, the assured producer who knows precisely how and why he's better. Now we have a sales meeting. Now we can convert skills and differentiation training into something very actionable. This is what will rapidly change your culture and turn your investment into real financial results. So back to the beginning. If you don't have a core philosophy in your agency that you are absolutely committed to, helping every producer double their personal income, none of this will matter. If your core philosophy doesn't include a deep belief that your best clients deserve a predictable, value client experience, then you've got nothing to sell other than fluff. If you don't see how this kind of culture will attract new producers like bees to honey because you provide a vibrant sales culture that trains and arms them with the knowledge and tools to defeat their competition, then all this growth talk isn't really for you. If you don't see your agency as a huge money printing machine that, when operating at full tilt, spits out money for all to share, then you miss the point. However, if you see the intelligence of what's being discussed here and you do want to help your producers and you do want to service your top clients in an extraordinary way and you do want to attract new producers who see your vision and you do want to rapidly increase the profits and value of your agency, then you'll want to change your sales meeting format too. The right training and proper equipment will build warriors. Producers that will grow their books one great prospect at a time. And in turn, your agency will grow like you've only dreamed possible. Number two, drive sales by helping a producer get an appointment with a large target prospect via an introduction. Look, the second purpose of a sales meeting is to help a producer get in the door of a top prospect. There is no better way than to have a top client make a call on their behalf. Everyone knows that introductions are the very best form of getting in front of someone. But when you're happy, satisfied client actually makes that call for you, well, it just doesn't get any better than that. Does it? But there's fear and angst and trepidation. And these culprits stop most producers in their tracks. See if you agree with this. Your producer has clients who know people the producer wants to meet. Your producer could cold call, leave messages, send emails and letters, and most would never get the attention of that prospect. However, the client, with one simple call in most cases, can get right through to that person because they have an existing peer-to-peer relationship. These red-hot introductions can save days, weeks, or even months of effort. This kind of introduction will open doors faster than you can imagine. Your sales meeting should include a section on helping a producer justify why they deserve to make this request. The best way to do it is to tell them they probably don't actually deserve it, and then have them defend why they do. When your producers are forced to defend why they deserve to get a red hot introduction, it too is like lifting weights. It makes them stronger. When you do this over and over and over again, guess what happens? Your producers gain more confidence because they become more aware of the great work they do. Their confidence goes up. Their desire to act is triggered. All the training and processes become second nature. It's muscle memory. And the net result? They grow, and in turn, your agency grows. It's a win-win of the highest degree. It's worth getting excited about. Let's do a quick review. Step one, commit to growth. Step two, you need a playbook. Step three, you must train in skills to build confidence. Step four, turn skills into action by changing your sales meeting. What's left? Well, you've done a lot to grow your producers, and you're on the path of removing all their excuses for not producing. There's one last thing you must do. You need to finish it off by creating a culture of accountability. And here's how you do it. Step five, the three C's to driving a culture of accountability. Look, if you're committed to growth, if you have a playbook or a game plan for growth, if you train your producers for competence and confidence, and if you convert their skills into action using the crisp salesman format, you are 80% of the way there. Here's the last 20%, and it's a must. This step is about what you, as a leader, have to do to create a culture of accountability. But first, how about a little analogy? Look, in order to get your driver's license, you not only had to prove you knew how to drive a car, you had to prove you understood the law, you studied the meaning of the difference between a red, yellow, and green light, you had to prove you could read a speed limit sign and that you understood what a speed limit was. It's all part of getting a driver's license. Along the way, you learn that there are policemen that monitor such things as running a red light or speeding. They have equipment to help them with speeding cars. It's called a radar gun. If you're speeding, they pull you over and write you a warning citation or a ticket. If you get a ticket, you have to pay it, or you face even more serious consequences, even resulting in jail time, if it gets bad enough. The three C's of accountability are all demonstrated in the story above. Let's talk about each one of them. Number one, a contract or written agreement. If there is no written agreement or what constitutes the law, i.e. what's the meaning of running a red light or speeding, then it would be awfully hard to enforce anything. The same is true in an agency environment. If there's no written agreement about how much your book has to grow from year to year to keep your job as a full-fledged, highly paid producer with enormous freedom to come and go, then there's nothing to enforce. If you want to step it up in this area of your agency, your first step would be to create your written document defining expectations. No written expectations, there's nothing to hold them accountable to. What might you put in that producer agreement? Well, the first thing is simply this, a minimum book growth clause saying that a book must have an average net growth of a minimum of, say, 25,000 or 50,000 annually every consecutive year to keep your commission rate where it is now, the maximum. Failing that, a 2% reduction in commission, meaning renewal commission paid, will be reduced from the maximum, say from 35% to 33%. If you miss it next year, it will decrease from 33% to 31%. And this will continue every year until the minimum is hit at 15% on renewals, the same paid to account managers. That is called a clawback on commission, as you know. And all of your account managers who are getting paid like real producers will soon be on notice that things are changing, and they'll get paid like account managers if they don't produce new business and grow their books. They have the option of becoming students of production by starting to do what they should have been doing all along if they were real producers. They will prospect, sell, and retain, or they'll be paid like account managers. So the first thing you need in place is the written contract, the first of the three C's. Unless it is all written down in black and white, there is no accountability. If you're going to do this, and it's highly recommended, then produce the document now. Let them know this will go into effect 1 year from now. This gives them a chance to get in on the production game. Then the following year, if they don't meet the criteria, the renewal commission takes the 2-point drop. Number two, the ability to count. If the local policeman or highway patrolman did not have a radar gun, it would be difficult to tell how fast someone was going. All they could rely on is their feeling or opinion. I bet you've tried this argument. I know I have. But officer, I set my cruise control on 72 miles an hour, so why are you pulling me over? And the officer says, hey, the radar clocked you at 82 miles an hour, and it doesn't make mistakes. Here's your ticket. Case closed. So when you're measuring existing books of business, or year over year, your agency management system can handle that without difficulty. But when you're talking about new producers and you have in your agreement the number of calls, appointments, and number of active accounts that should be in process, that becomes difficult unless you have a system that captures all of this information and can report on it easily. We'll talk more about systems in a moment, but right now, it's important to recognize if you can't count and can't measure certain activities, you can't create accountability. It becomes a game of hearsay or opinions, and you already know it will wear you out. When producers are under pressure to make money to support their families, they will come up with some whopping white lies to protect themselves and keep their jobs. So you need a system to count. That's the second of the three C's. And number three is consequences. None of this tracking is worth a dime, however, if there are no consequences involved. In the case of a speeding ticket, what if the officer could pull you over, write you a ticket, but you never had to pay it? Yes, it might be annoying, but it wouldn't change behavior. You hear about this happening on college campuses quite frequently, like a football star at the University of Texas with 137 parking violations. The dean of athletics had a conference with him to help clear up matters. A conference? Clear up matters? Come on. I mean, if they had a policy that on the third violation, you miss a game, on the sixth violation, you miss the season, and on the ninth violation, you're out of school, it's pretty certain athletes would find a better place to park. So you get the point. No consequences, no behavioral change. That's the third of three C's, consequences. There are a few reasons you would not want to instill this sort of accountability. Here they are. Number one, you are afraid you will lose your good producers. That's a fair concern, but not a reality unless your highest performing producers are all prima donnas. The problem is, you can't build a sales culture around prima donnas. They are too selfish. If you have one that you feel would be in jeopardy when you raise the standards and you feel you want to keep them, just exclude them from everything. Number two, if you have a bunch of underperformers, you might want to protect them from being accountable. Some agency owners feel bad that they are changing the rules and expecting people who get paid like producers and act like account managers to actually have to produce or get a reduction in pay. It's understandable if you feel that way. There are long-term relationships in place. One of your solutions is to form a protected group and exempt them from all of the three C's of accountability. And if you want to do that, do it. It's your agency. Let's just hope that when you're 85 years old, they aren't your friends anymore because they'll be asking you for financial favors then. It might be easier to help them get things right now and pay the short-term price than it would be to still be helping them then. Why do they get away with it? Why do agency owners tolerate these lousy, non-productive behaviors from non-ambitious, apathetic, non-producing producers? You clearly wouldn't put up with this kind of nonsensical behavior from your CFO, your COO, your commercial manager, or your CSRs. Non-performing producers get away with it for a couple of different reasons. You don't have a system to develop them, so you feel it is unfair to drive them harder. You feel sorry for them, so you're willing to leave them in the puddle of crud as long as they don't start costing you money. And you don't feel you have the ability to recruit and hire new talent, so you're stuck with what you've got. And you and your partners are not that ambitious, so in the big picture, it really doesn't matter. Is it time to draw a line in the sand and say, it's time for a change? This is how it's going to be going forward. Times have changed. There's only one reason you'll do it. You're running a business. And for a business to thrive, not just survive, it needs to grow and change with the times. As you know, buggy whip manufacturers are gone. The old cell phone manufacturers are gone. Record stores are gone. Camera film manufacturers are gone. And you can't find a payphone to save your life. How many of your agency owner buddies have gone by the wayside selling out because they didn't grow or couldn't grow? If your goal is extinction, then forget about accountability. Forget about hiring new producers. and forget about training and building producer confidence. Maybe it's time to just jump aboard your boat and take off into the sunset. But if your ambition is to grow your agency and dominate your market, here is something that will help you do just that.